Father, thank you again for this banquet, Lord, that we have the privilege of partaking in, Lord, this banquet that you've set before us, Lord, that, Lord, we can partake of. Father, Lord, you said, whosoever will may come. And Father, we thank you that it's in our heart to come, Lord, that you've put it within our hearts to come and to partake of the banquet, Lord, to feast and all that you have done for us, Lord. Oh, may we learn and to learn to take more and more and more and apply more and more and more of what you have done for us, Lord. Father, we just continue to ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to just, Lord, just open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, do a work within us today. Lord, continue to work in us. Father, change us from glory to glory into the image of your Son. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us, we pray. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we just, Lord, continue to ask you to have your way. Thank you again for this great opportunity that we have had, Lord, and that we continue to have, Lord. Even as we have a meal together, we thank you for the opportunity of fellowship, of just edifying one another. So we just commit all these things to you now in Jesus' name and for your glory's sake, Father. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Go back to there. I want to kind of pick up the fragments that were left behind in verse 10 last week. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. In where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And there's a few things for us to pick up here. I guess, first of all, this is like a crescendo as Paul, you know, if we looked at the first three chapters, which we've talked about before, that the first three chapters are doctrine. Paul lays out these great, tremendous doctrines for the church. Then in the last three chapters, he comes to the outworking, the practical side of the doctrine, the outworking of it. Because what good is doctrine unless it's worked out through us? What good is it really for us unless it becomes part of our life, unless we live it, unless we receive it? So these last three chapters are that way. But if we looked at the end of chapter 3, where Paul kind of reaches this crescendo, and he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then this, he comes to this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And he hits that crescendo. And now we come to the end of the last three chapters, and he again reaches this crescendo where he says, finally, my brothers, my sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because all the rest, everything that he has taught us in the first three chapters, everything the Spirit has shown to Paul and that Paul, led by the Spirit, has given to the church, everything that he said there, and then all of the implications of applying these things in the next three chapters, all hinge on this point, being strong in the Lord. If that isn't happening in my life, and if you notice, well, you probably don't know this, but in the Greek, it is in the continuous tense, being strong in the Lord, continue to be daily, be being strengthened in the Lord. Because if that's not happening, then everything that happens and is read before that cannot take place in my life. It is a complete failure. It would be a miscarriage to try to apply, to put on all the whole armor of God. Totally impossible unless I am first being strong in the Lord. And in fact, the more time I spend in these verses, the more I believe that the following verses about putting on the whole armor of God, take unto you the helmet of salvation, your loins girt with truth, and on, all those things are nothing more, and I don't mean nothing more as if they're nothing, but what I mean is that there's what they are is further descriptions of what he just said, to be strong in the Lord. What does that look like? Oh, I better put on the helmet of salvation. Oh, I better do this. So rather than to sever those from that phrase, I believe this phrase is the hinge. It is the definition, or it is the definition of everything that follows and everything that's come before. It all hinges on this, to be strong in the Lord. And he gives us pictures of what that is like by mentioning these other things, by putting on the whole armor of God. That's what it is to be strong in the Lord. What does that look like? Well, to put on the helmet of salvation. Well, to do this, to do that. The breastplate of righteousness. That's what it looks like, all those things. And you notice, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you notice that he said to put on the whole armor of God. I can't choose part of the armor and leave part of it off. If I do that, I am not being strong in the Lord. And again, as we notice everything else, it is the armor of God. It is not my armor that we put on, because it is to be strong in the Lord. Our faith is not in the armor. Our faith and our trust is in the God of the armor, because it all hinges on being strengthened in the Lord. And last week, I kind of threw this challenge out. Go figure out what it means. Consider throughout the week what it means to be being strong in the Lord in your life. What does that mean to be being strong in the Lord? So that was kind of the challenge. A couple of the other things we mentioned as we look into this is, as we read these verses again, or even just finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. It is an obvious statement that Paul says, the Spirit tells us, we are in a battle. Paul frequently, many times, uses the imagery of soldiers. His own son in the faith, Timothy, he mentions it to Timothy at least 4 times or 5 times about the imagery of soldiers. In fact, if you go to 1 Timothy, let's just turn there quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. And I'm going to move quickly. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, O my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you might fight, or that you mightest war a good warfare. So why would he say that unless he's saying, hey, we're soldiers. We are in a battle. We are in a fight. His charge to his son is that, oh, all these things that I charge and I commit unto thee, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. So the prophecies that went unto Timothy, what were they for? That he might warfare, that he might fight a good warfare. His charge, Paul's challenge and charge to Timothy, what was it for? That he might fight a good warfare. So obviously, we're in a warfare. So that's just an obvious statement. We are in a battle. First Peter tells us that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'm glad that he doesn't say he's a biting lion. He's just a roaring. He makes a lot of noise. But the problem is that we believe a lot of his noise, and his noise gets us to do what he wants us to do anyway. But he's a roaring lion. So that's the first thing. We're in a battle. The second thing we said is that we have need of strength. Because we don't have any strength within ourselves. We need strength. Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? We need strength in order to live the Christian life in a victorious way. We need strength. Why is that? The third notice is that it's not in ourselves. The strength to live the Christian life is not in ourselves. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, one of the most religious men on earth, disciplined, knowing his scriptures, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. he must be born again, because the strength isn't within himself or within our own personal resolve. It's we must be born again, and the strength must come from someone mightier than I. David said, by the Lord, by my God, have I run through a troop? Have I leapt over a wall? So we need the strength of somebody else. The strength is not in us. I quoted last week from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, where Samuel said, for by his own strength no man shall prevail. Apart from him, apart from Jesus, there's nothing we can do. We need the Spirit of God to live the victorious Christian life. And if I ask myself, why have I failed? Well, perhaps I tried to do something on my own strength. Perhaps I wasn't relying on the Spirit of God, because God always leads us in triumph to victory and not to failure. So the strength is not from us. It must come from another. And of course, if you turn to Isaiah 26, again, I've got a lot of verses we can go to, but we're getting somewhat of a condensed version. Isaiah 26, where then does this strength come from? Well, it says, be strong in the Lord. And again, I mean, this is a pivotal question. And how to be strong in the Lord? Again, we'll come to this, but how to be strong? Because this is pivotal, isn't it? Be strong in the Lord. I mean, this is pivotal. And again, Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Only in Him is everlasting strength. If I rely upon myself, and, you know, sometimes we do that. We've been saved for a certain period of time, and in a sense, we just go on in our own strength. And we do not realize how far maybe we are moving from the Lord. We're not out, you know, carousing and we're living here or there or doing these outward horrible things, but our heart might be growing cold. The faith and the zeal that we once had for the Lord, where we were, you know, recklessly abandoned to Him, starts to wade and fade away. Why is it? Because I'm relying on my own strength. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to do these things anymore. I'm not going to, you know, hang out with those people anymore. No, I'm just going to live the Christian life. But I drift and I step farther and farther. And in my heart, the passion that was once there, the fire that was once there, as Keith Green's song mentioned, it starts to go out because I'm living in my own strength. We cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. And so, as we read here in Isaiah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We see it in, turn to 1 Samuel. Now we'll walk through some scriptures here. We'll look at certain of the saints, not necessarily old saints, but turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And my thought is about strengthening, being strong in the Lord. You know, how was it that David in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, how was it that he overcame Goliath? How did he do that? You know, did he trust in Saul's armor? Did he trust in his skill? Did he trust in his muscles? And he looks at Goliath and says, oh, you're big, but look at me. I'm even bigger, and I can bench press more than you. How did he do it? His confidence was always in the Lord. Don't you know that you are insulting the God of Israel, and He is a living God? I have experience with this God, because this God, in my personal experience, He gave me power through Himself to overcome the lion and the bear. I've experienced His power. Who is this uncircumcised dog? A dog isn't even as big as a lion or a bear. And that's what he calls him. Who's this? You know, what's going on here? And his trust was in the Lord. And here in chapter 30, again, David comes to another situation. Verse 6, we won't look into it all, but the Amalekites had come and raided and taken the wives and the children and raided their home when they were out fighting. And so everyone's mad at David because he led them out to battle. In verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So imagine that. I mean, again, just imagine that if an alien nation came in and invaded us while we were someplace, I don't know, out doing the Lord's work. We all take a mission trip, and while we're gone, some alien nation comes in and breaks into our houses, takes away our children and our wives, our spouses and all that we have, and they take him away from us. And they're heartbroken. And they're angry with David. They're going to stone him because David's the king. This shouldn't have happened to us. And they're just all upset, and rightly so. They should be upset, but not necessarily at David. So what does David do? It says, so they were grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. That word encourage means that he strengthened himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Did he just do some push-ups or grab some dumbbells? You know, that'd be Mike on one arm and me on the other, a couple dumbbells. Did he just start pumping iron? I mean, what did he do? How does he strengthen himself in the Lord? What did he do? Well, obviously he got alone and he got quiet and he looked to the Lord and he recalls again. Yeah, this is the God who broke and severed Goliath's head with just a little stone. He did this. He's the one who took this little shepherd boy and anointed him as king of Israel. He's the one who gave me power over the bear and the lion. This is who this God is. This is the God that separated the Red Sea and my ancestors passed through it. This is the God who did these things, and he makes himself strong in the Lord. So what do we do when things go wrong in our lives? And things are bad, and that which we didn't expect, it happens. What do we do? Do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Encourage ourselves in the Lord? David did. Let's look at Paul. Well, last week we looked at Paul in Acts chapter 16, after he had been whipped and beaten, him and Silas, what did they do? How did they strengthen themselves in the Lord? They worshipped him and they praised him. That's what they did. They worshipped and they praised him. Look in a little obscure place, Habakkuk 3. Okay? There's only three chapters in Habakkuk. And it's right before the Zephaniah. There he is. Okay, chapter 3. 1164 on a page. Okay, Habakkuk, have you found it? Familiar verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. You think farming's bad this year? Look at this. They got nothing. No livestock, no crops. They got nothing. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God, He is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon the high places. Strengthening yourself in the Lord when things happen that aren't what we planned and what we had hoped for. Again, and that was a thought. Now, look at Paul. I want us just to see something. Turn to Acts chapter 9, which you guys know that's the chapter in which Paul, his salvation of Paul, where Paul meets God. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 22. So this is the beginning of his Christian life. And Saul, verse 22, and Saul increased the more in strength. What does he mean by strength? That he's pushing, again, he's pumping weights? No. He's in the Lord. He's spending time with Christ in fellowship. And he increased the more in strength. He was in the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures. He was communing with his God. And he increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. That's his beginning. He gave himself and he continued strengthening himself in the Lord. How does he end? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. We'll read 16. At my first answer or defense, because his life is on the line to defend himself, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. What's Paul's attitude here? He's been deserted by everyone who he gave his life to. What's his attitude? Oh God, don't hold it against him. Don't hold it against him. That's his heart. And then we read this. Don't hold it against them. But notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And what did He do? He strengthened me. That's the same word. He strengthened him. He was strong in the Lord. He put himself in a place, oh Lord, this isn't right, but don't hold it to their charge. I know You'll get me through this. And he was strengthened. The Lord came and strengthened him. So in the beginning, He strengthened. In the end, He strengthened. How about us as Christians? Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, a familiar verse for us. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us or always leads us to triumph in Christ. This is Paul's testimony, and he's sharing this testimony with the church, the body. He said, thanks be unto God, who always causes us, always leads us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest His Savior of His knowledge in every place. So he says, in the Christian experience is one of victory as well. It's a something of victory. And again, as a Christian, being born again, remember, our place is victory. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Christ has put all enemies under Him. It will become real, as Steve said, when He comes back. He is going to put all enemies under His feet. He will finish Satan for good. He will be locked up and sent away and chained up. He will put all evil, put everything evil right. He'll do away with it, and He'll set up that which is righteous. This is our God, and He always leads us to triumph. And in Christ, we come from the place of victory. We are not winning the victory. In other words, I'm not winning the victory for Christ. It is won. I need to rest in it. I need to be guarded in that. But the battle is taking place, and the point of the battle is to bring us down into a place where we feel defeated, and we might even reap the justice of defeat, in a sense, the pains of defeat. But we're to be victorious in Christ, and it has nothing to do with outward circumstances. That's the problem with the American church and with our experience, is that to us everything is outward circumstances. Paul was completely triumphant when he sat in the prison cell with his back ripped open. God didn't spare him from having the cat of nine tails ripping his flesh open. God didn't spare him. But Paul found the victory in that. He remained in a place of victory, that they can't take Christ from him. He couldn't do it. So it was a place of victory. And as we move on here, so again, how can these things be in our life? How can this be real in our life? We need to put into practice what we read. We need to live what the Scriptures say. And Steve made mention of it earlier, not our emotions or not our experience, but what the Scriptures say. And if you remember, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt in chapter 6 of Exodus in verse 3, this is, well, let me read it. And this is the name that He gives them. I'm not thinking of the I am, but in chapter 3 and in verse 6, or I'm sorry, chapter 6 and verse 3, I got them turned around. And God spoke unto Moses and said, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by this name, I am God Almighty. This is who I am. Who is our God in your life? Who is your God? I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. I am Almighty. There's no one else. There's no other God before Him. Who is our God? He is God Almighty. Can we overcome sin in our life, in our own strength? No. But who can? El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Remember, he appeared unto Abraham. Look what Abraham went through. You know, He promised him a son. Look at the testing and the trials he went through and on through. So, I am God Almighty. Jesus prayed for us. So I've got a little heading here. How can these things be? First of all, our God is Almighty. Secondly, that I have down here is Jesus prayed in John 17, in verse 15. He said, Father, I pray that You don't take them out of the world, but this is my prayer, that You keep them from the evil. So can God keep us pure in this world? Jesus prayed for that, didn't He? He prayed that way, that You would keep them from the evil. I believe Jesus' prayers are effectual. I believe He can keep us from evil, whatever that might be, whatever lust or pride bitterness in my heart or unforgiveness or whatever it might be, I believe He can keep me victoriously. How can these things be again? In Galatians chapter 1, look at this. In Galatians chapter 1, it's just a little phrase, another challenge. How can these things be? Because this is what Jesus gave Himself for, that we can be victorious, that we can be strengthened in the Lord. Verse 4, chapter 1, who, that's Jesus, gave Himself for our sins. Why? That He might deliver us from this present evil world. And that, you know, we're in an evil world, but we're not of the world. Evil should not be in us. Any type, form, whatever it is, shouldn't be in us. God gave Himself, Jesus gave Himself to deliver us from evil, anything evil. In Romans 6:14, it says that sin shall not have dominion over us. That's what it says. So this is what my hope is it's in the power of Christ. It's in the strength of God and that He teaches us in His Word. So the Word teaches us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said, in verses 28 and 29, He said, no man can pluck you out of my hands. Nobody can pluck you out of my hands. Nobody can. And then the next verse, and no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand, because He's even greater than me, and no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. In John 14, Jesus said, He said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go there, if isn't a question mark, it's just the fact is that if that's true, which it is true, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and get you again, that you can be with me. Do you think Jesus is going to come back and get me? There's no question about it. He's going to come back and get me again. I want to be strong in the Lord. And He's going to get me to where He is. In John 17, you know, six times He said, those whom the Father hath given to me. And this time He says, Father, I pray that those whom You have given me may be where I am, that they may see My glory. God's going to get me there. Praise His name. I don't have a question about whether or not I'm going to heaven. God's going to get me there. And He's going to keep me from the evil of this world. He's going to get me where sin does not have dominion over our life. That I can be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of His might. I didn't get to any definitions. But, you know, and then we can look at Romans 8, which, you know, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do that? You know, we talk about a victorious Savior. Who can separate us from the love of God? And we, you know, those verses, we go all the way through. Nobody can. No one, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And in Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 23 and 24, it says that He is able to sanctify us wholly, body, soul, and spirit. It can be preserved blameless until the day of His coming. God is faithful. So I'm not strengthening myself in myself and in my great ability to discipline myself and in my great strength that I have as a person, because I'd be a failure, and I am a failure every time I do that. If you trace your downfallings, you'll find that at a certain point you started trusting in your own faith and in your own strength, and you quit praying fervently, and all of a sudden, boom, here's a failure. And it'll always trace back to that. I'm not trusting in those things. God is faithful who hath called us. And then the scriptures that we like and are so familiar with us, and in Jude, isn't it? Jude 24 and 25. Okay. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. It's unto Him who is able to keep me from falling. My reliance is on Him. My trust is on Him. And I know we'll all say that. Yep, that's true. But is it active? Because it's continuous. Be being strengthened in the Lord, daily, moment by moment, you know, hour by hour, being strengthened in the Lord. And it is an activity. It isn't a passive thing, although it's action in the sense of faith, that I'm putting my faith in Him. I'm putting my trust in Him. I'm relying on Him. I'm fellowshipping with Him. I'm spending time with Him. Again, how did these men strengthen themselves in the Lord? They spent time with Him again and again. They spent time with Him. And so that's kind of that. That's verse 10. And I feel that is the crutch of it all. We didn't get, you know, so be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or in His mighty power. You know, and as we discover the power of the life of Christ in us, living by His life in us, it's wonderful. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And those three words, you know, to be strong in the Lord, or to be strengthened in the Lord through His mighty power, or the power of His might, or the strength of His might, whatever. They're all similar words. They're a little bit different from each other. But might, and again, there he's used this. It's very similar to chapter 1, 19 of Ephesians. It's very similar when he talks about the power that works in us. That's 3:19, but in 3:20. But in 1:19, again, it's very similar wording, but it's as though His might is it's muscle. And again, this isn't a good example, but you see a man who's really built, really got muscle. But when it says the power, that's that muscle in action. It's the muscle in action. So he's got might, but might is nothing if it isn't exercised. And Paul, by the Spirit, puts the two words together. So be strengthened in the Lord. And that means to be clothed, to put His strength on us, to be clothed in that strength, to put it on, and in the power, that is the active power of His might. It's active. It's this energy, this power that is potential there, but it's become kinetic, and it's for us. It's all given to us. It's all for us, and it's active, and it's available for us. So to be strong in the Lord, this is the only way we will overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's to be being strong in the Lord. It's the only way husbands are going to be good husbands. It's the only way wives are going to be good wives and reverence their husbands, and husbands to love their wife. It's the only way children are going to learn to obey. It's the only way servants are going to be good to their masters. It's the only way masters are going to be good to their servants. It's the only way that we could keep going backwards through the epistles all the way through. It's the only way we're going to know those things and execute those things is by being strong and strengthening ourselves in the Lord. And so there's, again, that kind of the gateway that we'll go through that as we move into the armor. But it's all hinged upon it. Even as I said, I think as we look at the armor, we'll find its definitions of being strong in the Lord. Because you can't be strong in the Lord without having the armor on. Isn't that right? You can't put the armor on and not be strong in the Lord. You can't do it. That's the way it is. So let's just close in prayer. Father, thank You again for this challenge and this, Lord, just the wonder to see how saint after saint after saint, Lord, had put You on, that they put Christ on. And that's what we see in the Scriptures, is to put Christ on. Lord, to put off the old man and to put on this new man who is created in Christ. And Father, so I just thank You again, Lord. Help us throughout this week, Lord, as things come, Lord, morning by morning, noon by noon, evening by evening, to exercise ourselves to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Teach us how to do this, Lord, to put You on and to be strong in You, to have a great relationship, Lord, a great fellowship, Lord, with You. Father, we thank You again for these things, and just bring this to our minds throughout the week, Lord, that we would live lives that are pleasing to You, and we would lift up the name of Jesus in a lost world. Amen.